This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Alan Ellis, and this is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We are live and in person here on this Memorial Day weekend, reminding you to sometime during the weekend just pause and remember all those members of the military who fought and died for our freedoms to pursue the lifestyle that we love, including fishing and hunting and being in the great outdoors. So we just want to remind you to think about that. And this morning we have no guest. We have just you all as our guest this morning. And we're looking forward to talking with a lot of you. We know that it's a holiday weekend. We know people are on vacation. If you're listening in your car, you might still be stuck at the Bay Bridge from, you know, about 4 o'clock last night or whatever time that was. What time did I come through there? It must have been, I don't know, 3 o'clock, something like that. Traffic was already backed up way past 97. I don't know. How far back did it go last night? Do you remember? Don't know. It was a mess. But anyway, first big major holiday of the summer, and everybody was hitting the road, getting out of town. But if you are listening this morning, we do invite you to help us out here. Give us a call at 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM 680, 1-800-922-6680. Now, why do I say WCBM 680? Well, that is obviously our call letters, WCBM, the call letters of the station, and 680 is our location on the dial, but also very, very cleverly, whoever designed our phone number actually coordinated it to be the same as our call letters and our location on the dial. What do you mean you didn't know that? Yeah, come on. Apparently you don't pay attention. Yes. You see, if you hit the W on your dial, you press the W, it's W. And the 2 is C, and the 2 is B, and the 6 is M, and then 680. Now you know. Amazing, isn't it? Oh, she's only been here a year. By the way, your call will be answered by a lovely young lady this morning, not that grumpy Brian. So if you'd like, you can carry on a conversation with her, but if you like, are you single? She's single. Oh, man. So there you go. How about that? We're going to give you a nice little wake-up call. This morning. 922-6680. No nasty stuff. No, just we'd love to hear from you. Yes, about any of your fishing experiences. Did you get a turkey? Did you even bother to go out this year, given the season that we had? Well, I can tell you some news here. On Thursday, some youngsters and folks from the Department of Natural Resources went out and tagged dozens of Diamond Jim fish. And Diamond Jim himself was released. Diamond Jim, if you catch him from now through midnight on June 30th, is worth $10,000. And we went out and tried for him yesterday. Actually, some good friends and I got an invitation to head down to Southern Maryland and go out on a private boat and we went out, actually went out to the power plant. They're at Calvert Cliffs, the nuclear power plant. And when you hear on the loudspeaker that there is a water main break, is that a good thing at a nuclear power plant? I'm thinking probably not. But anyway, we decided to stay. And my buddy called me last night. He said he's, you know, turned the lights out, and his wife said, honey, you're glowing. And he said, well, thank you. And she said, no, you're really glowing. No, that's not true. But we fished the outflow there, and it was a good experience. We caught a fair number of fish, not as many as some of the folks that were there and more experienced, but we did some jigging with some small jigs and some plastics and excuse me, caught a couple fish like that. One of the smartest guys on the boat, me, took some peelers along and decided that I was going to commit to peelers. I had two rods hooked up. One had a jig with a piece of plastic on it, and the other one we were using peelers, and caught a few fish. Actually, we caught one young man caught hooked a nice legal fish, probably 2 foot long, something like that, and lost it at the boat on a crankbait. And the other legal fish, which is about the same size, came in on the peeler. So I'm having striped bass for dinner one night this week, and looking forward to it. I mean, this weekend, and looking forward to it. So, but fellow's sitting there anchored up, right at the he had a little spot right there at the overflow or the outflow discharge, I guess is the best way to put it. He was anchored up right there, casting into that with fly, and he was hammering them. He was catching a lot of fish. I saw him catch maybe one or two legal fish, but the rest of them were all small, as were most of ours. And then another boatload of three fellas came up. Looked like it might have been a small outfitter with two guys on board, and the two anglers, they were doing pretty well too, catching a lot of small fish. But these are resident striped bass, and of course they're being caught throughout the mid to lower bay. Trolling, people are still trolling. Some people are starting to do a little chumming. According to our buddy Marty Gary, spotted sea trout are still going strong on the lower eastern shore islands. We've got black drum on the Stone Rock, which is a little bit early. That's usually a mid-June thing, but we're looking for some black drum to show up there. Stone Rock is at the mouth of the Chop Tank. If you're fishing out that way, take a half a soft crab and put it down on the bottom. You can mark those fish fairly simply on your depth finder and fish for them. Never caught one. So, drum fishing. If anybody's ever caught a drum, I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear what that experience is like. I understand it's like pulling up a tire, but I can't say that that's for sure because, you know, those are pretty big fish, and it sounds to me like they give you a pretty good fight. Deep Creek Lake is doing well for walleyes, smallmouth, largemouth, and big bluegills. Our fisheries director, Tom O'Connell, was out there last week, and he just couldn't stop talking about those big bluegills, 10 inches or so. Yellowfin tuna still abundant north of the Washington Channel. The triple zeros and inshore catches of sea bass have been good since the season opened last weekend, and that would be on one of the wreck boats. So 410-922-6680. Come on. You're running the show today, folks, so we want to talk to you. One of our listeners, Tom, has been out, and he shares his videos and his photos with me. He goes out to the local waterways. Excuse me. And he looks for different kinds of wildlife, bird life, and things like that. He's seen otters and minks and I mean, right here in the Baltimore area, he's seen different shorebirds. He's got video and some still shots of an American bittern that he's taken. He's been sending me eagle video, some osprey stuff, all kind of cool stuff because it's right here in our own backyard. And we just, you know, our busy lives, we just fly on by and we don't take the time to see what's out there. Hey, Jim's calling us here. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy. What's up?
I heard you said you want to talk about black drum.
Go for it.
My brothers and I go down to Cape Charles every year in May. The past couple of years, we haven't caught anything.
Really?
Yes. My dad started this trip 36 years ago with, I don't know if you know Captain Ray Cardone.
No.
He's on the Miss Jennifer down Cherry Stone Campground.
Okay.
Yeah, we go out with him every year.
Uh-huh.
Catching one is fun.
Is it?
You really gotta feel for them because it's like just a little tug.
Really?
That's it. As big as those fish are, the cat tells us all they do is they suck the bait in.
Yep.
And they spit the hook out.
I got you. Yeah.
So, yeah, we usually, most of the time use large clams, but sometimes use some clams and crab on the same hook.
Okay.
So, yeah, just let you know.
What size hook do you use?
Size, I caught a Citation about maybe 8-10 years ago. It was 73 pounds.
No, but what size tackle do you use? What size hook and rod and reel and line?
I know he uses 50-pound test.
Mm-hmm.
We use his rod. I just go with the man tells me to go ahead and use.
Is it a conventional tackle? You don't use spinning rod or anything like that, right? You use like trolling rods, conventional rods and reels.
No, we don't troll for them. They're bottom feeders.
No, I understand that. But the size of the tackle, Jim, is like a trolling rod on the bay. It's conventional casting reel?
It's similar to that, yes.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, we've been knowing it from my dad. Started this trip, like I said, 36 years ago.
Yep. Well, hey, man, I appreciate that. So you use a clam and a half a crab, huh?
Yeah, and one year, we just knocked them out one year. You can even hear them under the boat, you know, make their sound, that boom, boom sound.
Yeah, I've heard that on Delaware Bay when we fished over there. I don't know if that's a spawning sound or what that is. I guess so. That's why they call them drum, Jim.
Yeah. Well, the cab says that it's the male that makes that sound. It'll attract the female.
Maybe I ought to try that.
Yeah, there you go.
All right,
brother.
Thanks, Jim. Take care, buddy.
Care.
Yep, bye-bye. There he goes. Gunter, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is Gunter.
Hi, Gunter. This is Alan.
Last week, you talked some about eels.
Yes, American eels.
And I was kind of surprised years ago I saw them use them for bait to catch crabs. Where I come from, I like the smoked eel as a good eating fish.
Exactly right. Well, we use those
eels.
You
can't eat too much because it's very rich, but it's good.
Really? I'd like to try that sometime. I've eaten some unusual stuff, but I've never eaten an eel. Of course, I haven't caught one here recently big enough to eat, but... here in Chesapeake area, we use the what we call the pencil eels, which are maybe as big as your little finger around and up to 15, 18 inches long.
Mm.
We use those for striped bass,
mm-hmm.
Particularly in the upper bay. It seems to be a very favorite bait. And a lot of people know how to catch those striped bass on those eels.
Yeah.
That season is coming on here pretty soon, but that's mostly a fall thing. As far as the crab bait is concerned, yes, we do use salted eel here for crab bait. We cut the eel in sections maybe 4 or 5 inches long at the most,
yeah.
And salt them,
yeah.
Which toughens the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And those are used on a trot line application with a long line with a dropper,
mm-hmm.
And the eels are placed on the dropper. And the crabs find them difficult to consume. So, you know, on a trot line, a lot of guys use eels pretty much all season until they have to replace them. They just keep, you know, putting their trot line back in the basket. And when they put the eels back in the water, they rehydrate and continue to attract the crabs.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, and again, these are the smaller, like the pencil wheels. They're not very big in diameter, maybe as big around as your finger, maybe a little bit bigger. But
well, the ones I remember we ate were about like the ones you use for crab bait. But
yeah.
Boy, when they smoke, they really taste good.
Oh, yeah. I understand they're a little bony, though.
Well, I don't know. Well,
yeah.
I don't remember that, but anyway. You were talking about something else there, and I kind of figured out, I guess everybody else on listening knew what you were talking about. They threw something in the sea, maybe for helping spawning fish, maybe what they call life balls or something. I don't know what they call them. You were talking about it. Put so many.
Reef balls.
Reef balls.
Yeah, reef ball. Reef balls are. There's a couple different things that you can do. You can make them. Some people make about a rebar, reinforcing rods. Some are commercially available, made out of plastic, long lasting plastic, recycled plastic. Some of them are just. They're a pretty good size round structure that when you put it on the bottom, it remains there. And the first thing that starts to happen is it starts to grow. It attracts things like barnacles and mussels and things like that as once it stopped moving on the bottom.
Yeah.
And with the hollow design, it makes for a good structure. Good hiding place for bait fish, a good structure for spawning fish, and it's just it's where there's no structure, this creates structure so that life and fish can continue to thrive. And the reef project here in Maryland has been very, very successful. They've used pieces of the George Washington Bridge that that spanned the Potomac in Washington D.C. They've used subway cars. They've used aircraft. Anything that creates structure on the bottom. And these reef balls are put out there by conservation organizations to enhance the to enhance the structure and to enhance the fish population.
Well, you didn't explain at the time because I think most people knew about that, but I figured it out. I thought that's probably what it was.
Well, I'm glad we did that, but no, I did not explain that very clearly what a reef ball was. So.
Well, I figured everybody was interested in your show, and as an angler or sportsman, fisherman,
they knew
about that.
Gunter, it doesn't hurt to explain stuff.
Yeah, okay.
So,
well, anyways, thank you, and still I like your show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you giving us a call.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Have a good weekend. There goes Gunter. All right. Well, we talked a little bit about the fishing. Coming up is today is the Bluefish Tournament at the Ocean City Marlin Club. Tomorrow, again, the Bluefish Tournament continues. Next week, Friday, on the 1st of June, the striped bass season is wide open. Striped bass are open statewide in all the rivers and streams and sounds and that type of thing. So the geographical restrictions are eliminated. And then next Saturday, a week from today, is one of our free fishing days, which means you can take your kids fishing. You can go fishing without a fishing license and just experience the day on the water. Recreational fishing license requirements are waived for the day, and that's next Saturday. There's also a youth event at Harrington Manor Lake and a youth event at Salisbury Park Pond. And the Maryland Fishing Challenge official youth event at the Bill Burton Fishing Pier State Park on the Talbot side from 8 to 11. And our contact there is Marty Gary at the DNR if you'd like to know more about that. Also next Saturday, the Mako Mania Tournament at Bahia Marina in Ocean City kicks off next week. And that brings up the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Yes, indeed, the Fishing Challenge with Diamond Jim. Diamond Jim is now out there swimming around. No question about that. It is time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. Diamond Jim is a tagged rockfish. He's worth up to $10,000 right now if you catch him between now and the end of June. He's swimming into Chesapeake Bay just waiting to take your bait. Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there, too, but even they are worth $500 apiece. So you catch a rockfish with a bright green tag, you call the number on the tag, you might just have captured a $10,000 prize. And if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish, certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Gulf Coast to qualify. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shops, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, a vacation from the World Fishing Network. Even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. Stop by your local fishing citation center or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge, this year honoring Lefty Cray and featuring Diamond Jim. www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Alan Ellis here for Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. You know, my friend John Berkridge, the sales manager, he wants outdoorsmen to know that the F-150 and Super Duty pickups are ready for action. Remember, Ford trucks are dependable wherever you spend your time outdoors, at work, and at play. Stop by and see the lineup of Explorers, Escapes, Rangers, Super Duty, and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years. Ask how to take advantage of the special offers and incentives on Ford trucks at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. See Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln at 1845 East Joppa Road in Parkville for all the details, or call 410-661-6400. Visit them online at bobdavidsonauto.com. For outdoorsmen, Bob Davidson is your outfitter for quality Ford trucks.
Set your alarm clock to AM 680 WCBM.
Tune your first car radio button to AM 680.
Listen at work on WCBM.com.
Listen all day and all night
to Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Down in Louisiana, where the alligators grow so mean, lived a girl that I swear to the world made the alligators look clean. Oh, Charlotte Annie, you got your granny. Everybody said it was a shame, 'cause her mama was working on the chain gang. A mean, vicious, straight razor toting woman. Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
A little Elvis there with Poke Salad Annie. Yeah. All right, come on. That's good. Hey, Mike, how'd you like Elvis there in the morning? What do you think?
I liked it.
What's up?
Okay, you know who I am, right?
Uh-huh.
You know the tent lady?
I do.
Okay, I'm in Pittsburgh now, but last weekend I was in New York.
Yeah, how'd you do?
Oh, great. We had a beautiful time.
Yeah, bass fishing up in New York, huh? And Finger Lakes.
Oneida Lake.
Yeah, cool.
The strange thing about it is we were fishing in Black Lake. We rented a cottage at Black Lake. And the regulations, I've went there 2 years because my friend at work, he said, you know, because I was recuperating from that accident, he said, you want to go? So I went last year, and I wasn't doing too good, but we caught bass like crazy.
Yeah.
But then this year we went back, and it was two boats, and the state regulations is that you could fish, you know, anywhere for small amounts as long as you release because they're on their beds.
Right.
Well, what happened is, yeah, the small print at the bottom of the page said go to page 30, and it said this lake that we stay at, you cannot fish for them on the beds.
Really?
And so we were out there, and the other boat that we had two bass boats, two in each boat, they got pulled over, and they got each a $250 fine for fishing over beds on a lake that is closed for that fishing catch and release.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So we done John paid for the cottage, so we took a 2-hour drive the next day. We were there for 4 days, and we went. We found the closest lake was a Oneida Lake.
Yeah.
And there's no, there's structure, but this is like the Chesapeake Bay. It's big. So we just went out. We went out in the middle. You know, no structure, and we're fishing, you know, crankbaits, tubes, everything.
Right.
Everything under the sun. And we're catching bass. I don't know what the deal is. They're just all kind of fish we're catching. I don't even know what some of these fish were. They were like a carp-looking thing, but not a regular-looking carp. They were shiny.
That'd be a fall fish, probably.
What is it?
Fall fish.
But it had a sucker-like mouth.
Well, they might have been suckers.
I don't know. These are big shiny. They look like the ones where you see on them boats that go down and they fly in the air and come in the boat. That's what they look like. But this Oneida Lake is part of Lake Erie.
Right.
It's part of the canal. And, I mean, the fishing. Somebody wants to fish, you catch everything. And, you know, they're on their bed. So, anyway, we did that for a day, and then we went back all over to our cottage. So we left a day early and went back to Oneida Lake and fished different. And then we got into different coves and went on GPS, and we were able to find, you know, structure and all that, and I caught some really nice bass.
Good. Glad to hear it.
And you know the 10 lady.
Yeah, she's on the other line. You want me to connect the two calls here?
Oh, sure, you can.
Hold on. Hold on a minute.
I'll go right ahead.
Hold on a minute. All right. Yeah, we got that. She's still getting, she's still talking to our producer there.
Okay, well, anyway, she called me, and now I'm in Pittsburgh because my grandmother's in the hospital.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Hey, Melody, how are you, Melody?
Good morning. How are you?
Guess who's on the line?
I know. I hear him. You got to love him, don't you? He's great. You just got to love him.
Good morning, Melody. How are you
good
today?
Good morning. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I was just getting ready to talk about you. Is that okay?
I heard y'all.
Can I talk about you?
Of course. I hope only in a good way.
Oh, it's a good way. So, Alan, anyway, I've been trying to help Melanie, and we're kind of working together on, she has cell phones and all, and she can't charge them. She has no refrigeration. And so I go to Pittsburgh, and on the way, I find a solar panel, and I find a 300-watt converter that she can plug in her cell phone, and she's got cell phone, and as soon as I get her a nice battery, she will have electric like everybody else.
I can't wait. It's great.
She'll be good to go.
Cool. Good. I'm glad we made this connection here on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. So we will continue with this saga as we go along here.
I will keep you updated, and we're working it out, and one day, Alan, I bought a pontoon boat when I went to Smith Mountain Lake. I am busy. I'm everywhere. I'm moving.
Man, you're everywhere. You're everywhere. You're New York, you're Pittsburgh, you're Smith Mountain Lake, you're Dundalk. Good grief, Mike.
Alan,
great.
Alan, my problem is the gas tank on the car. I just, I'm getting to the point I can't keep up with it.
I hear you.
I can't keep up with it, so. Yeah. Like I told Melanie, all you do is put gas in my car, I can get there.
There you go.
I'm retired, you know, because of this disability, but that's a long story, whatever.
Yeah.
But now I'm up and you can hear the birds chirping. Yeah. I enjoy my life.
That's good.
I help people when I can. And you know what? When I get this pontoon boat, I'm going to go for a ride on the bay and relax.
That makes sense to me. All right, guys.
Okay, I'll see y'all.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Have a great day, guys.
All right. Thanks for calling, Melody. Mike, take care.
Melody, give me a call when you get a chance.
All righty. Bye-bye.
See
y'all. Yep. See you guys. Have a great weekend. Oh, did we get... There we go. The Outdoorsman Radio Show, the original Facebook of the air. 410. Isn't that nice, though? People helping people? I think so. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. So, do you live in East Baltimore? Do you have a stinky fish on your doorstep? A lot of fish kills over there. The rain pulse causes the sudden algae bloom and takes all the oxygen out of the water, and fish die. And apparently last fall we had a big oyster die off too, trying to recover the oysters here in Maryland. And the folks at DNR put a lot of effort into this. A lot of entrepreneurs have put a lot of effort into trying to regrow oysters in the Chesapeake Bay. The endemic problems of MSX dermo and salinity fluctuations have seemed to kill off most of the oysters, even those grown commercially. We've got tremendous amounts of money going to this program. We've got people who are putting oyster shells out for the oyster larvae, the spats, to grow on. People are out there, you know. I know one fellow right now who's still on the bay. He's been on the water for a month and putting out the oyster spats and just not having any success with it, unfortunately. And so when you have a 90 to 100% mortality rate, it doesn't make for a good oyster population. This was in the Baltimore Sun 2 days ago. And so what are you going to do? I don't know. You can't fight Mother Nature sometimes. So, but we're going to keep trying. And you want to read that story? It's certainly online. You can check it out. Let me see who wrote it. It's from the Associated Press. It's actually not in the Sun. It was in the This was in the Wall Street Journal and the Annapolis Capital, I believe. I can't see who wrote it. Hold on a minute. This computer is about as good as the one I have at home. Yeah. http://capitalgazette.com if you'd like to read that. It was in the Capital. It was also in the Wall Street Journal, but it's Associated Press story picked it up. Give credit where credit is due. All right. There we go. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. I was talking about my buddy Tom, who sends me pictures of different things around the region, and latest thing he's been sending me is eagles and some shorebirds, and actually found a cuckoo. Did you know that we have cuckoos in Maryland? Other than the sales force here at the at the station, we actually have cuckoo birds, you know. And we got a video of a cuckoo catching a fish and killing it, tenderizing it a little bit. Kind of cool. So we just encourage all of you to just take a moment and look at the nature and the outdoors right around your house and, you know, in your backyard, and take a little time and instead of, you know, cussing at the squirrels, observe them a little bit, watch their behavior, see how many types of birds you can identify. It's not all about, you know, catching and cooking and killing and cleaning and eating, but that's a big part of it for me. But it's observing nature and seeing how things interact in our world. And, you know, when you see an unusual yesterday, we're fishing, you know, and fishing's okay. It's not great. It's a little bit slow. But every now and then we're catching a fish. And, you know, but I'm watching ospreys circling above the nuclear power plant. Why? What are they looking for? Well, they're obviously looking for food. They're nesting right now. But all of a sudden, right in front of us, there's a bigger bird than an osprey. And it's an immature bald eagle. And it's diving on the osprey. And, you know, those two are not mutually compatible so much. So we had an aerial dogfight right in front of us with an eagle and an osprey. Cool. What's cooler than that? I mean, you know. Now, how many of you remember when Bill Clinton released a rehabilitated eagle? You want to Google that for me? Bill Clinton, President Clinton, rehab eagle, whatever you want to do. He was in, I believe, St. Mary's County on the bay. and he thought that would be a great place to release an injured, rehabilitated eagle. And he did. And as the eagle flew off and as the crowd applauded, two ospreys attacked and drove the eagle down into the water, and they had to go out in a boat and rescue the eagle. Great press moment. But, yeah, whatever. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. What's in your bed? And I don't mean where you are right now listening to the show. I'm talking about your truck bed. Well, I can tell you what's in my truck bed. There's a, right there against the metal is a Linex protective spray-on bed liner from Bay Linex at Glen Burnie. And we invite you to protect your truck with the same. Linex is the best available protective coating on the market, period. Now, there's the standard black. There's the standard black with the little additional stuff that makes it shiny. And that's called, I'll tell you what that's called in just a second here. It's the Linex Premium. That's what that's called. But if you like the color of your truck, and obviously you do, you've selected that color, and you want your bed to match just like it does from the factory, well, you can, and still have a Linex liner, you can do that. If you got a red truck, you want a red bed liner, the Linex color-coded DuPont Kevlar uses the color code, your paint code, to provide you with that factory-finished look and the extra protection of Kevlar. Linex spray-on bed liners are rated number one in customer satisfaction. And now Bay Linex from Glen Burnie, Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, provides mobile service to your job site, too. You can get all your anything that needs protection from the elements or corrosion protected by one of the various Linex protective coatings, and that can be for underground tanks, secondary storage, secondary containment, styrofoams, plastics. They can all be coated with the Linex protection coating. I'm struggling, huh? Do I sound like I'm struggling? Huh? A little bit. Oh, anyway, visit Bay Linex of Glen Burnie online at baylinex.com, baylinex.com, or stop by at 400 Arundel Corporation Road. That's Bay I, just off Beltway, exit 3A, or Ritchie Highway. Don't be fooled by imitations. Call 410-789-0199. Ask for Bobby Hawkins. Bobby is the man. Mention the Outdoorsman Radio Show or Ellis Outdoors. Learn how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, now more than just bedliners.
See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, we're going to go down to Fishbones Bait and Tackle today. I got to see Bud, and so thought I'd tell you about it. 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena. Yep, 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena. I was down that way the other day, didn't stop by, but I was close. You just take Route 100 all the way to the end. You head out towards Gibson Island, and it's 2.5 miles out there on the right-hand side right beside the Shell station. Fishbones Bait and Tackle. They've got those great crab steamers. Well, crab season coming up, I mean, it'll be the last steamer you'll ever need to buy. Stainless steel with a basket and a lid. They've got a half bushel size, a bushel size, and a great big bushel and a half size. That's right. And all the crabbing supplies, everything you need to steam your crabs, catch your crabs, Fishbones has got it. Not to mention all the bait and tackle that they have for fishing, too. Well, I just mentioned it. Why do people say not to mention and then mention it? You know, I'm a publisher, and I get these writers, and every time somebody writes an article. Not to mention that. Why mention it? If you're not going to mention it, don't write it in there. So, yeah, that always bothered me. So that's why I threw it out there. Not to mention Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena, 410-360-0573. Don't forget, great fishing report from Bud. Give him a call.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Well, my baby, she's been watching all my hunting videos. She's been begging, she's been wanting to go. I said, you gotta get up early. And honey, you ain't gonna like it. Cause you can't pee and you gotta be quiet. But she was bound, she was determined. So I took her down and outfitted her from head to toe. And oh my gosh, my baby looks good in camouflage. She's all decked out. The sexiest tree I've ever seen. Can't concentrate when we're sitting in my stand. She's holding my gun and I'm holding her hand. And even when it's cold, she's
all right, there we go. My baby looks good in camouflage. Yes, she does. Did you find that story? Did you find that story? No, okay. All right. Well, 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. I'd like to hear from you. Talk about anything you want to talk about. Facebook of the Air, if you'd like to connect with others like yourself who are interested in the outdoors, well, we'd be more than. Trying to find the story about Bill Clinton and the Eagle. Anyway, I knew that happened. Oh, I know this is great radio when you're sitting here listening to me Google stuff. All right. But I'd sooner be talking to you. 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680 is our phone number. Let's see what else is going on. Let's see. Got some other stuff here I can talk about. Oh, yeah, here's some new catches in the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Some pretty nice ones. I don't have the guy's last name. George from Whitehall caught two citation fish out of Liberty Reservoir. One was a 24 3/4-inch smallmouth, and another one was a 22 1/4-inch largemouth, both out of Liberty. 21-inch largemouth for Nicholas France in Brighton Dam. Nick Hasner from Baltimore caught a 26 1/2-inch chain pickerel at Loch Raven. James Stiers from Joppa caught a 20-inch smallmouth in Lapidum. Brown trout, Wes Powell from Cumberland, 24-inch brown trout. Nice. Nice, nice. Number of stripers. Here's one at 45 1/2 inches from Jerome Parker from Laurel, 45 1/2 inches, Chesapeake Beach. All these folks. Oh, let's see. Here's Bruce in Delaware. Hey, Bruce, how you doing?
Well, sir, happy. Let me turn the radio off here, sir. Good morning. Sun's coming up. I mean, what better day can it be? Beautiful orange ball out there.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. It was a beautiful day on the water yesterday, I can tell you that.
Well, I believe it was a beautiful day in my garden yesterday.
That's right.
Anyway.
Good. Yep.
Well, I'm calling over here. They spray the pond every 2 or 3 years.
Right.
A week. And they came in, and it's really going to mess up our... Anyway, for 1 month, we can't use the water.
Right.
It's okay. You can eat the fish. How is that possible, Alan?
Well, it's probably an herbicide that doesn't affect the fish life at all, and probably has a very short half-life. so it kills weeds, and it doesn't get into the body fat of the fish. What's it called? What's the poison?
The guy wouldn't tell me. He would not tell me. It was Denrek over here in Delaware. Well, yeah, no, obviously. He wouldn't tell me.
Yeah.
You know, and I got the garden. The peas are up. I mean, lima beans are up. Tomatoes are great. And, you know, if it doesn't rain, that's a big waste.
Right.
Big waste. Well, anyway, so you have a nice
pool. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll toss that out there. Anybody who's used any of the herbicides on their ponds and have not affected the fish, but I'd like to know the name of that. I'd like to know the name of that that stuff that they're using to kill the weeds, and then they tell you that it's okay to eat the fish.
I will definitely find it out next week. And I'll probably get back to you in 2 weeks, sir.
That sounds good. I appreciate it.
I'll send you an email with that, sir.
All right, Bruce. Sounds good. Don't call me sir. It's Alan.
All right, Alan.
All right, Bruce. Take care. See ya. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Which brings up something very interesting. You know, we just mentioned a fish kill here in the Chesapeake Bay. And that's been widely reported of thousands and thousands and thousands of fish, all kinds of little fish, are found dead because of this this sudden rainstorm that we had last week. It gave a freshwater shock pulse to the bay and depleted the oxygen. Fish just starved out on the oxygen and died. That's what they do. It's not a totally unusual thing or anything like that, but it's certainly unfortunate. Here's a story. This was on July 7th, 1996. An immature bald eagle released at Patuxent River Naval Air Station to dramatize President Clinton's visit got knocked out of the sky by four ospreys before the president had finished his Independence Day speech extolling the comeback of our national symbol. Officials kept the enthusiastic crowd of invited dignitaries, military personnel, and environmentalists in the dark about the attack. The three-year-old female eagle, nicknamed Freedom, was attacked about a half mile from where she was released. The eagle, who has a six-foot wingspan, was fished out of the water by the Coast Guard and taken to a wildlife clinic where she was recuperating from a slightly injured wing. See? I remember stuff. 1996. I was younger then. Yeah, kind of funny. Yes, let's release this eagle. Commemorate the return of our bird of freedom, symbol of freedom. The osprey said, oh, yeah? All right. Oh, I got up early yesterday. I had to be at St. Leonard's at 5:30 in the morning. You know how far that is from here? Long ways. Good hour and a half on a good day. That's with no traffic. So, but we talked a little bit about waterfowl hunting while we were on the water yesterday, and talked about goose calling, and talked about duck hunting, and our host had a cell phone that quacked like a hen mallard, and every time he got a phone call, we were, you know, looking around, waiting to see the ducks coming in. But let's talk about geese. Now's the perfect time to get in touch with folks at Sean Mann Outdoors and pick up an Eastern Shoreman goose call if you're learning to call geese. That's what it's called, the Eastern Shoreman. That's the name of the call from Sean Mann at SeanMann.com or Sean Mann Outdoors. The Eastern Shoreman goose call was invented in 1985. Sean Mann not only became the world goose calling champion that year, he revolutionized the waterfowl world with the introduction of the Eastern Shoreman goose call. Its unique design is capable of reproducing all the sounds of a Canada goose, and it's the one I learned to call with, and one that thousands of people have learned to call with. If you're a veteran waterfowler, you know about Sean Mann calls. More world championships have been won with the Eastern Shoreman, or the short read version, the shorty, than any other calls. Now, if you're a novice or just learning to call, the Eastern Shoreman is easy to operate. Soon, you will be calling like a pro. Visit www.seanmann.com, the website, to view all the varieties of all the Sean Mann calls, and you can learn the history of the long call revolution right there. Sean Mann, homegrown right here on the Eastern Shore. He's from Easton, and you can call him toll-free, 1-800-345-4539. Talk to someone in the office there. Tell them you heard about it on the radio, and you were interested in the Eastern Shoreman call. Or you can log on to seanmann.com. Stop by your local waterfowl shop and ask a retailer to demonstrate how to use the Sean Mann Eastern Shoreman with a shorty goose call. You'll enjoy learning. You'll enjoy using the call like I did. The geese, they won't like it so much. Well, we have time for maybe one more call. If you get in here real fast, 410-922-6680. Or if you want to wait till after the news, that's fine too. We'll be back with more of the Outdoorsman Radio Show and talk about whatever you want to talk about as far as fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. That's what we talk about. So, coming up on Friday, June 1st, the entire Maryland Chesapeake Bay region waters and tributaries will be open for striped bass fishing. Two fish per person per day between 18 and 28 inches, or one fish between 18 and 28, and one fish over 28. Bigger fish are primarily gone. You might pick up a stray one here and there. Mostly you're going to be fishing the summer season for the smaller fish. A fish has to be 18 inches to keep, and there are plenty of them out there. We got a lot of fish yesterday. Saw a lot of fish being caught, not a lot of legal ones. These are mostly the smaller fish. Light tackle, light spinning rods, little jigs, little bucktails with a white twister on them should do very well for you, unless you're chumming, of course, and then you'll chum up a lot of fish. Light tackle is a lot of fun. So, all right, folks, my name's Alan Ellis. There's the music coming up in the background. Time for me to get out of here, make room for the news. Pat, our new producer's coming in the middle here, and we'll be taking your call. So if you have to leave us, get out, stay out, stay safe.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
As the proud owner of a Ford F-150 pickup, I'm pleased to recommend Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. From the sales experience to the quick lane service department, Bob Davidson is Maryland's only Ford dealer that has earned the Ford.